Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. For Motivational Monday, we have trainer Jen Zanotti. And to celebrate Autism Awareness Month, we have our team from Giant Steps. And of course, we have Paul Farvar from the Singles Only podcast coming on at midnight. But now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, the one and only Patty Vasquez.
Monday night in Chicago. It is wonderful to be hanging out with you. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you might be. And don't forget, we understand that maybe you've got to get out of your car if you're driving somewhere and you're like, oh, I wonder what happens next. Or, you know, you've got to get your rest. So if you feel yourself falling asleep, don't worry about it. You're not going to miss anything because everything we say on every single show is podcast. You can go to iTunes, search for WGN Radio, Patty Vasquez, Pretty Late. All those searches will get you to the right destination because producer Michael Heidemann posts those as soon as we are done with the show. So find us on iTunes. You can also go to WGNRadio.com for all of our podcasts. And if you go to Patty V Show on Facebook, please like our page. That's Patty with an I, P-A-T-T-I, V as in victory, I guess, but it's actually V as in Vasquez because that's why there's a V. Patty V Show on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram at Patty Vasquez, C-H-I, same handle on Twitter. Actually, to the opening, it is Autism Awareness Month, and many of you who perhaps have been listening to the show for a couple years do remember that one of the things that sent this show, and me in particular, to Springfield was that on World Autism Day, the governor of Illinois suspended about $26 million in funding for programs throughout the state of Illinois, which included the Epilepsy Foundation, Meals on Wheels, smoking cessation programs, a lot of people that were affected. In particular, the funding cuts affected the autism program of Illinois. Specifically, many of the facilities were shutting their doors, including Easter Seals. I know that there were people who thought that they could take their kids in for classes and social programs, and the doors were locked. And so as the governor tweeted out today about the numbers, the stats of how many families, how many children, how many adults are affected by autism, it was kind of an interesting moment when he tweeted out those numbers. Just wondering, his acknowledgement of that doesn't seem to be reflected in the fact that thousands of families actually lost services and care since he became the governor of Illinois. So it was interesting. It is, in fact, Autism Awareness Month. So we will be talking to our friends from Giant Steps, a great, really a great community out in Lyle. We want you to know more about that. We have Paul Farvar coming up a little bit later. Don't forget, if you don't like the conversation when it comes to talking about the Trump administration, you might want to either, you know, call in and have a conversation with us. But if you want to anonymously just get angry about it behind a keyboard, we will be adding on segments. If you are a Trump supporter, this is a conversation for you to join. It's not a conversation at you. It's with you. So just getting mad about it or feeling as though you are personally being attacked, you're not. It's, this is all a conversation. So, but should you get on a keyboard and start yelling at us in all caps or calling people names, being derogatory, if you call Michael and start yelling at him, we will add a segment for each whiny, nasty text and or phone call that we get. And we actually are carrying over six from last week. There's a lot to cover tonight, but we'll contain it as much as we can. I will do my best not to use up all six segments. But on a lighter note and a positive note, because that's really, I think, what we all need. And even when we talk about things that maybe feel negative, there's a positive to be found in everything. It is the beginning of spring. Hopefully warm weather is on its way. And motivational expert, jiu-jitsu expert, Jen Zanotti joins us in studio. Congratulations, by the way, on your silver medal at the recent competitions that you were participating in.
Thank you so much.
Those look great. There are some great still shots of you just being
a badass. Photographers are amazing.
Yes. I love that.
Hong, he's a great photographer in Chicago that captures all of the jujitsu moments, and Mike Anderson, they're awesome. So very grateful to have them taking pictures of us in action.
And how many competitions have you been in? I know this is a new weight class and belt class for you too, isn't it?
So it's a new belt class. Yes. Okay. My purple belt career.
Excellent.
I've had my second tournament.
What do you
now.
Think so far?
I love it. It's great.
Is there a difference?
I'm very happy.
Obviously, as far as like experience, but it seems as though you're doing even better in this belt class than you were in the previous one. Is that?
Well, I haven't achieved any golds yet, which I have in the past.
Okay. Oh, so, all right.
But no, I mean, in as my second tournament and going in a little bit injured, I'm very happy with how everything has turned out. And it's more technical. I mean, you know, you're starting to get up in the ranks. It's definitely a lot more technique and it's more challenging, but I'm very happy about it.
And it's amazing to me. This isn't something that you like have been doing your whole life. You just started 3 years ago? Three, four years?
Five.
Yeah. I knew it was an even number.
I started when I was 31.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And now you're a competitor.
Yes.
With sponsors and traveling around the world.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I never thought I'd be living this jujitsu lifestyle, that's for sure. But I'm so grateful.
And for those not familiar with jujitsu, because I think they think of it as karate or a martial arts.
Yeah.
How do you explain jujitsu to folks?
I like to tell them it's jujitsu begins where wrestling ends. Just to give them kind of a visual. So there is a lot of stand-up in jiu-jitsu. A match will start standing, so you'll see a lot of wrestling in judo as far as taking the person to the ground. But it is a grappling art, so it'll look a lot like wrestling, but there are submissions allowed. So there's chokes, leg locks, arm locks.
You make it sound so charming. Doesn't she make it sound charming?
It's great.
There's chokes, there's leg locks, there's bashes to the head, and flips over the right as.
It's all done on cushions, right? So it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's on
and with a smile.
Yes, it's on mats with a smile. Like I say, it's aggressive cuddling. That's really all it is.
I don't know which part of that I like less or more.
I mean, I think you liked it, Patty.
I like aggressive. I'm not sure how much I like cuddling. I like being aggressive more than I like cuddling. Yeah. How about you, Ez? Which page are you on?
Aggressive? Aggressive cuddling.
Aggressive cuddling.
Sometimes you need it.
Yeah. It's a great stress relief, let me tell you.
That'll subdue anybody. We're cuddling. All right. So and not to be used in everyday situations.
No.
To be, unless you're
only
being
in training with your training partner.
In training or when you're in danger.
In a safe environment, yes.
Yeah, I don't know that your attacker's gonna go, I meant to cuddle. This is what I was
probably
looking
not.
For. No. But one of the reasons why I think that we are drawn to the stories that you share with us when we have you on the show is that you are somebody who found something in life that you're passionate about. And that's what makes you somebody who's an expert on how to help people unlock those roadblocks to achieving what they want, whether it's physically or emotionally. And that's why we're hanging out with Jen Zanotti for Motivational Monday. We encourage you to call if you have any questions about throughout the conversation, if you have any questions or comments, we encourage you to join us. 312-981-7200. Again, that number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text us to that number. More with Jen. We're going to find out how to get a spring reboot.
Yes.
Maybe you let those New Year's resolutions go by the wayside. Maybe you maintain them, but you need a little bit extra boost. Let's find out how to do that. Mm-hmm. More when we come back on 720 WGN. Over the last few weeks, we have, I don't know how to put this precisely, Michael. Executive producer Michael Heideman behind the glass, and he'll be the voice that you hear when you answer, when you call in and you say, hey, I got something to say. Michael Heideman answers your calls, and he has been managing the tech screen for the better part of a year. One of the policies we developed here, Jen Zanotti, was that it's like sitting in your office. Let's say you're at your Gen Z Beauty in Highwood, and you're doing your job, and every day someone comes up to you and taps your shoulder and goes, is that how you're going to do that? Why are you doing it that way? I wouldn't do it that way. That's not the way you should do it. You suck at this. You stink. Like, constantly. Like, that's how the tech screen can be.
Yes.
Because the people who love the work that you do,
right,
they either tip you or, like, for here, for my show, if they enjoy the show, they hang out, they listen, maybe they call or text.
Exactly.
But they're not as loud or, I think, malicious. Well, they're not malicious.
Right.
Maliciousness has an energy to it that seems to propel people forward.
Yes.
And that goes to, I think, some of the things we're talking about being motivational is letting go of those negative attitudes or fear, because I think people operate from fear.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, I want to address some of the text screen. One of the texters asks you, is jujitsu done in bare feet?
Yes, it is.
Oh, and is there a reason for it? Because like in a combat, well, that would kind of give you a weird sort of dynamic if you had shoes on while you're fighting too. Yes.
You can't have shoes. I mean, because that would just add a little bit more of a injury also. So, I mean, like wrestlers
wear
certain wrestling shoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's all, a lot of martial arts are done barefooted. So
for training.
Yes.
Now, if you were using it in a real world scenario, having shoes on might,
it would actually probably help you to some effect.
Give you extra power.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But for the sport and tournament, it's all bare feet.
When you're wearing a nice pair of high heels, are you ever out and about thinking like how I would use this as a weapon? Like, you know, you have that skill set. Like if you feel someone like walking, like a stranger walking up and you feel a little creeped out, you're like, you start playing out the scenario in your mind.
Absolutely. First of all, I never wear heels anymore because of my feet from jujitsu. It's like the last thing I want to wear, but I had some on for Easter yesterday. So, but yeah, I mean, you kind of feel a little bit of that empowerment, like even more, and you have that heel. It's like, ooh, you know,
I'm taller.
Yeah.
I'm forceful. So there you go to that question. Yes. The jujitsu is, look, somebody just asked if we could add another segment by, remember I was mentioning off the air that there was a listener texting Dustin Kaufman's show. So we hadn't said anything. We just said we would be discussing the Trump administration. So this is how many texts has this come in? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want everyone to know that the 708 has, for everyone, added an additional 5 segments. We didn't say anything positive or negative about the Trump administration, not even knowing what that was in reference to. He goes off on a tirade here for no apparent, like without being, cry me a river. If you do this, I will do this. Do you know how it sounds on that side of the radio? We don't have a segment called, a segment about the old drunken bitch.
Oh.
So, that we can't stand. Yes, I'm talking about Hillary, the biggest sore loser ever. Maybe that's why she is so drunk all the time, falling down and breaking bones. Or bad mostly because of the wall and doesn't take, I can't use that word on the air, and pushes back. I believe I had read and heard that Trump's rating are up. Why don't we discuss Hillary and all the great stuff she has done in the last month or so? Because she's not president, but that's up to you. So just want you to know, this is how the text screen goes.
Right.
So when you text that in, for listeners who are like, I don't want to hear about Trump. Now, your Trump supporters, this is like an idea of like also talking to each other like, hey, she didn't even say anything and you just went crazy on the text screen. And now we all got to talk about it some more. So coming up after midnight, after 12:30, we'll be playing the Deadpool. We'll also be talking about the stock market and how the Dow continued to slide today. The S&P dropped over 2% and entered correction territory while the NASDAQ dropped nearly 3%. And the Dow Industrial Jones was down more than 600 points. Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, and Alphabet were all down today. Stocks opened lower to start the third quarter of the year after new tariffs were announced by China. So I didn't say that's not opinion at all.
No,
that's just what the stock market was like. How do you filter out, like, how do you stay positive when you want to do things in your life and like stay aggressive with being, because you do you find yourself to be aggressively healthy sometimes? And that sounds negative, but maybe that's what we all need to do, is be aggressively healthy.
That's not negative. I think that's a very positive thing. It's very hard to be positive. I think we've talked about this before, but taking the negative route, I think, is a little bit a sign of weakness, I want to say, especially when it's by choice. Being positive takes a lot more effort and strength. But I tell a lot of my clients, you know, you have to learn to detach a little bit more and just envision yourself in a nice golden bubble where none of that can penetrate. Because really, a lot of times we let others' negativity affect us, and it's hard not to. But when you kind of envision yourself in that bubble, it creates a little bit of a barrier. So you're taking that mental note and that time to allow others' actions to not affect you. It's not your energy, it's theirs, so it doesn't belong to you.
So if you have that sort of bubble idea, and it is that I'm rubber and you're glue, mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
Right.
That's what the mentality of that is actually kind of makes sense. When you are saying something negative or being awful or unkind, mm-hmm. your intention is to make somebody else feel as badly as you do. That's the goal right. of being, right. behaving that way.
Absolutely,
100%. And the same thing about being kind is that you hope, and the trick I think with being kind and being positive is, and why I think people sometimes become bitter, mm-hmm. is they're like, I'm always nice, damn it. And so they feel as though they're not being reflected or right. appreciated for that. And that's the trick, is to be kind and positive anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Even if it's not appreciated or returned.
You don't expect anything in return. Yep. You have to do that for yourself.
Right.
And it's like, if you exude that energy, you hope that others, it's going to catch on. And it is, I mean, it is contagious, I think,
yes.
you know, but if there's somebody else that is portraying and putting off that negative energy, a lot of times it's something that they're going through. It mm-hmm. has nothing to do with you. So that's what I just tell people. It's like, you kind of have to almost in one ear, out the other. I know that can be very hard at times uh-huh. to ignore, but you know, the person's going through something a lot more that's their own personal issue.
Well, the 708 maybe has something going on that's their own personal issues, that this is where they need to unload. They're not happy mm-hmm. with something. But from my end, I don't necessarily have, it doesn't land on me. It lands back.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, it's just the new approach that we're taking is, you know, if you can't see what we're trying to do, we're actually having a conversation. If you can't fundamentally or materially participate in the conversation and you can only do it by attacking, well, then we're going to put that right back out and right. find ways to continue a conversation that I was sort of holding back on, not discussing it, not having it. But we prefer the positivity, which is why we're doing yes. Motivational Monday. When we come back after the break and the news, we'll talk about ways to reboot your approach, your commitment to your health, whether that's through diet or exercise or even your mental attitude, with Jen Zanotti. How can people find you on the social media? Where can they learn more?
They can go to Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast or Facebook at Jennifer Zanotti.
That's Jennifer Zanotti. More when we come back on 720 WGN. For New Year's resolutions, maybe you said, I'm going to work out more, I'm going to watch less television. My New Year's resolutions were, I'm going to read for a half an hour a day. That was my New Year's resolution. I even put it in my calendar app to remind me every single day. And the night before, it says, are you ready to read tomorrow between 2 and 2:30? And I have not read every single day, Jen Zanotti. So we're talking about rebooting your commitment to yourself to yes. make life better for you. And when you make your life better for yourself, you make your life better. Because maybe you're caring for your family, whether it's your children, or maybe a lot of people now have aging parents. And we don't mm-hmm. realize how much we have to take care of ourselves in order to provide for other people.
Exactly.
So that's one of the elements we need to be aware of. So how do people reboot at springtime, Jen? Jen Zanotti, our expert tonight for Motivational Monday.
Well, I think springtime is great for spring cleaning, as we all know, but it's very important that we do that with ourselves. And a lot of time, I find that, especially with goals that people have set for themselves, there's some fear behind it. So sometimes we set ourselves up a little bit, and it's really important as we clean everything else out that we kind of let go of that fear and that negativity to be able to push ourselves forward.
What kind of fear have you encountered with people that you've talked to about their goals?
Sometimes, honestly, I think it's the fear of success or actually achieving them, depending on what that mental state is behind it. But a lot of times people think they can't do something because they don't believe in themselves. And then they think about, what happens if I really do achieve this goal? If it's losing, you know, a ton of weight, or starting to eat healthier, or, you know, getting in the gym more, or even just mentally making decisions about leaving a relationship or making a big change in their life, you know, to better themselves. I think it can be kind of scary and intimidating.
Absolutely. And when it comes to, I don't think I've ever heard of accomplishing your fitness goals as being something to be afraid of. But I guess because maybe for me, it's like hard to imagine achieving my goals. Right.
I guess. Right.
You know, what that body type is, or what that strength level is too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my block, is failure to believe in it rather than fear.
Sometimes there's a comfort in how you've been living for so long, or you've just become accustomed to the way your life is or how you feel, especially, you know, with a fitness goal or possibly changing your eating habits. Maybe if you are a little bit more, you know, overweight, or, you know, usually it tends to be with someone who has like a large goal in front of them.
Right.
Especially with weight loss. But you're really becoming a whole other person, and enjoying that process is the beauty of it, instead of having that fear kind of there.
That makes sense, too. If you're afraid, in the idea of being afraid of something, you know, if you have to make a drastic change, then who is that person that doesn't do all the things or enjoy all the things they used to, whether it's, you know, spending more time watching television or eating things that you know aren't great for you, but it feels good.
Right.
They're afraid of losing that comfort of the way they've lived their lives, too. I guess that makes sense, too.
Right. And usually when we're doing those things, we're finding comfort because of something else. There's something more deep within of why we might be binging on that food. It's not really about the food. There might be something else that's there emotionally or mentally that we really have to pinpoint and recognize to be able to move forward and achieve those goals.
How do you help people? I mean, like, what are some of the techniques people can use to identify that? Because that sounds like it might also be perhaps seeking medical or professional help to work through that.
Absolutely. So usually when I sit down with somebody and we go over some of their health goals, you know, I have a whole checklist for them and questionnaire for them to go through, because sometimes, especially if it's been a challenge over, you know, several times they've tried to lose weight or get healthier, whatever the goal is, you know, there's something that's been there holding them back. So I really try to get to the core of those issues or those emotions, so we can start making simple steps forward so it's not so scary for them. And I think once they start realizing that it might be something a little bit more emotionally based that's keeping them back, they get a little bit more excited and realize it'll be okay because they have that support and guidance.
Right, because being aware of it is important, because we kind of go through the motions.
That's the first biggest step. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of part of the hurdle right there. Getting over that, I feel like, is huge. Once you recognize that and you're aware of it, then it's a lot easier to move forward and achieve these goals that once seemed, you know, so challenging, and now they can be so much simpler.
Do you find that some people also think, it's going to take me too long? Like, I remember one time, this is such a weird example. My husband had lost his job, and we weren't going to have dental insurance anymore, right?
Yeah.
And so we kind of were trying to figure that out. And I called, and they have this waiting period, right? The coverage doesn't kick in until you've had it for 6 months. And I remember calling somebody, and they were like, well, if you had called us 6 months ago, you would have already been eligible now. And I was like, well, that's not helpful to me. But I think people see that, like, where they're like, well, if I had just started 6 months ago, it's hard to sort of like, it's going to take me 3 months to lose 15 pounds. And that seems like people want a quick fix.
Yes.
And the investment of time is hard to do. But once you look back and think, oh, if I had just started a year ago, it gets even more frustrating. And I think
that gets more overwhelming.
A negative self-fulfillment sort of a thing.
Exactly.
And by the way, I do have dental insurance.
That's part of, you have to let that go.
Yeah.
You have to let the past go. You have to let past decisions go. It's about moving forward in the right direction. And I think, too, organizing yourself and your daily routine into having simple steps towards the future and towards your goals. And then it makes that time frame a lot easier to deal with.
It has to feel manageable. And so find out the thing that works for you, the sort of mental gymnastic it takes to say, okay, this is what it's going to take. And that could be something small. Now, as I have to be very honest with you, so the whole 30, so in how many days has it been now? I feel like this is the third or fourth Monday. I can't remember. But I have not had any sugar. I've not had, except for that one time I had ice cream. I told you I was honest about that. Right. And I have had, but I've had no other forms of like refined sugar, no cookies, no pastries, none of that. I've had no beans, no grains. I had the bag of Cheetos, half a bag of Cheetos that I ate that one day.
Yes.
It gave me a migraine. I accidentally had a little bit of cheese in an appetizer yesterday. I've not committed entirely. And then I was telling Jen off the air that there may have been some cocktails last weekend. And only on the weekends, though. So it's something. But the idea.
The idea is that you're trying to figure out what's making you feel funky.
Right.
It's not a thing of like, I can't eat this anymore. It's a thing of, we're trying to figure out this. So by you eating stuff,
You can't tell. I won't be able to. Yes, that's a good point. But I will say that my, now I don't know what, it, well, since I've reintroduced things I'm not supposed to be having, but I will say instead of it being that sort of a an exercise as, for me, it's more I'm being very aware of what I'm eating.
Well, right, I mean.
And that's the, I, right now that's the only angle I can take since I'm not doing the whole 30 the way it's intended.
But look at the changes that you've made and even the fact of taking out all that sugar. And, you know, you have to be feeling so much better. So like we were talking about, too, this is your life. It's a lifestyle. If people are consistently eating healthy 85 to 90% of the time, you're still going to have those moments that you're going to enjoy life. It's life. I mean, there's a lot of memories around food and drink or traditions.
I miss bread and pizza.
To say that you can never have that
unmanageable.
When you know, okay, I can look forward to have this, you know, this day of the week or once a month or whatever it is, you know, with my family, that's something that you'll enjoy and you'll be able to move on from it. And you'll want to get back to your regular routine most likely because you'll know how that makes you feel after you have it, but enjoy it.
Well, you know what the routine is then too. Yes. Like what are your bad habits that you'll fall back on and you'll be more aware of when you start doing, like when I go home, I really want to have ice cream. I do love me some ice cream. And so now what I've been doing is mostly berries with almond butter and sunflower seeds. And I look forward to that. Like that to me is oh my God, so good.
You're switching it out. You're making a healthier alternative, but you still have something. Healthier food options can be delicious. They are delicious.
Plus, so, with a glass of bourbon, it's fantastic.
I mean,
okay, that defeats the purpose. Let's take a quick break here. We're hanging out with Jen Zanotti. She is our Motivational Monday guest, and she is a jiu-jitsu expert. You can also find her at JZ Beauty and the Beast. No, is that right?
Yeah, on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
And Gen Z Beauty Salon in
Highwood. Technically Highland Park, but Highwood. Everybody knows it's Highwood.
Yeah, it's over there. Jen Zanotti is in studio with us. If you want to join us on the air, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. You can text us or call us at that number, 312-981-7200. More in a moment on WGN. It's Motivational Monday. We're thrilled to welcome jiu-jitsu expert and all-around motivating human being, Jen Zanotti. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It is pretty late. It's not too late. It's not very late. It's just pretty late. And we're thrilled to have you in studio. One of our listeners, and we're asking for a little more information, but one listener said, there is no reboot for people working / living in their car. So if we can get more information, we'd like to know what you mean. But I think anybody can. I mean, I know it sounds casual. Maybe it sounds cavalier or dismissive. Mm-hmm. But if you mean that there's no hope, then that's something you have to, I think, evaluate and figure out what, are you done? I mean, if there's no chance for moving forward in life, what do you want to do next? And there's always, as long as every breath you take means that there's hope for something better for yourself.
Absolutely. We have to kind of just look within a little bit and see what we truly want and have that power within ourselves to make the change.
Yeah. And again, it might sound like we're being simplistic about it, but I don't know any other way to put it. You're not alone when it comes to feeling the heaviness of life. Mm-hmm. And I think looking around, we always see somebody who's doing better than us, no matter where you are. You could be, be in the worst health and think that, well, they don't know what it's like because they don't suffer any pain or they're not going through what I'm going through. And that can also negatively affect your ability to recover. And you have to go by what's happening to you, how you feel, rather than compared to somebody else. You could be extraordinarily rich and still not be happy and still think that somebody else has something that you deserve.
Absolutely.
Anytime you externalize and say, well, that works for you, but it's not going to work for me, then you're not giving yourself an opportunity.
Right. Sometimes we have to step back a little bit and step out of ourselves to look at the situation as we would almost give somebody else the advice, just to really kind of get a different perspective. And there's always an option. There's always a choice. There's always something we can do. And it's keeping that faith and that belief in ourselves that something can be better. We can make that change.
You have to. I don't know how to keep going unless I know that there's a way
forward. You have to keep pushing forward. There's no other option.
Yeah. Julie, you have a question for us. Hey, Julie, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. I just wanted to tell you something, Patty. You are the most inspirational person I've ever listened to. You helped me want to achieve things that I never thought I could. And I learned so much from you. So I just wanted to thank you. And then I have a question for you. You were saying you gave up those foods.
Yes.
And then when you reintroduced the foods, that's how you found out what your reaction was.
Well, that's because she did it the correct way twice. For me, when I fell off of it, I ate, and I kind of had always suspected that Cheetos were not good for me. Yeah, and I had a very severe migraine, but having eliminated a lot of the things that might be bad for me, it was easy to isolate the Cheetos. But Esmeralda, did you find when you reintroduced foods into your diet what was affecting you negatively?
I honestly, for me, it didn't, but I know, like, my boyfriend, he saw a difference when he pretty much went back to eating sugar and stuff, and even now he doesn't feel as great as he did when he stopped eating all that stuff. But a lot of people do, they figure out, like, oh, this is not doing well for me, or people will then do the whole 30 and then they'll have dairy or they'll have some cheese and they realize, oh, I do not feel good. So they realize it's like, maybe I have to cut out dairy.
Is there something specifically that you're concerned about that you think might be affecting you when it comes to your diet, Julie?
I do. And I think it's dairy. Okay. And I love it. I crave it. And I don't want to give it up.
And it's in so many foods. Go ahead, Jen.
So if you, sometimes when we take out some of these foods just for a little bit, after a few days of going through a little bit of a withdrawal, you're kind of detoxing your body a bit. Okay. So once you do remove that from your diet, you aren't going to crave it as much. That's the same. I think you'll notice that, especially when people cut out a lot of sugar. You'll notice that, you know, after those first few days, and it might be a little rough, I'm not going to lie, but you will get through it. After about 2 to 3 days, your body should be pretty adjusted, and you won't crave it as much as you think it will. But I'll tell you too, I don't, you know, eat as much dairy. I cut a lot of it out. Sometimes I will have like Greek yogurt occasionally, but I know if I have cheese, I know how my stomach's going to feel, and I get super bloated and I have a reaction to it. But there are certain like cheeses that you can have too, like goat cheese or feta, that are a little bit lighter, are a little bit better for you than some other, you know, cheese options. But I would go ahead and try and, you know, remove it if you wanted from your diet for a few days. Let your body kind of go through that detox, and you'll be surprised to find that you're not going to crave it as much as you think.
Wow.
And maybe start slowly introducing things back in. Some of these a little bit healthier, you know, alternatives. There's always a few options that are better than others when it comes to dairy, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate it.
We're here for you, Julie. Just let us know how it's coming. And if you need some, you know, positive reinforcement, just check in with us, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Take care of yourself, Julie. Thank you.
Bye.
More after this on 720 WGN. That's Cassandra Kabinski with Not So Different, who you heard on our show just last week. We are enjoying Motivational Monday with jiu-jitsu expert Jen Zanotti, who has sticking around, I hope, for most of the show, for as long as you can. I know it's late on a Monday night. We want to tell our friend Frank, who's on the lead. Before we get to our guest to talk about an event coming up at Giant Steps, let's check in with our friend Frank, who is on the line. Hey, Frank, what do you want to say? Southside
Hello,
Frank.
Hello, Patty. How's everyone doing tonight?
Just fine, Southside Frank.
Hi there.
How's everyone doing? Everyone all right?
We certainly are. Even better, we're hearing your lovely voice. What's going on?
Very good. Hey, listen, Patty, I wanted to tell you that you and the crew are very necessary to Chicago.
No, don't cut him off.
That you and your guests do.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I really am.
Oh, we always love to hear a positive voice like yours, Southside Frank.
I love the positivity. That's amazing.
Thank you,
sir. Hey, Chicago wouldn't be great without your show at night. Let's just tell it like it is, Patty.
We need
you, and we need WGN.
You know what makes this station so great? The biggest asset we have to the station are the listeners. Whether we agree or disagree, whether we can be friendly or not, and of course we love hearing the friendly voices, we're always here for each other. So thank you so much for that, Frank.
You're so welcome, Patty. We found out today that the facility that we work at will be closed at the end of the year. And I didn't flinch an inch.
Yeah.
Because I remembered many nights when you talked about strength and standing up and standing for what you believe in. Oh. From the energy of the up pretty late with Patty Vasquez crew. We draw from your strength, Patty.
Oh, Frank, I wish you the very best. You know what you're going to do next?
I have a few ideas.
All right.
And I will shoot them to you on Facebook page.
Yeah.
I've been going over my options for the last year.
Oh, so you've been preparing. See, so that's the thing.
It's time for another opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Reinforce yourself. Ma'am. Yeah. Thank you, Frank.
Yes, I have been preparing.
Yep.
And I have some applications out. And like I said, I will shoot them to you on your Facebook page because I don't want to name them on air because many of the managers at the job listen to your...
Yeah, let's keep them in.
That's smart.
Let's keep them in the dark. I appreciate that. Well, I look forward to hearing what's going on with you, and we'll, you know, I can tell you're going to figure this out. I love the positivity in your voice, Frank.
Hey, not a problem, Patty. It's all about the up pretty late with Patty Vasquez crew and WGN here in Chicago.
That's right. And now the home of the White Sox. I know. I think you're a Cubs fan, aren't you?
I went fall, so I claim my Cubs.
There, oh.
South side.
Yep.
So I am a White Sox guy, but I'm claiming both.
All right.
Because I had to represent my city.
There you go. It's all about our hometown. Well, thank you so much, Frank. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon. I want to make sure we talk to our friend, Dr. Sylvia Smith, who is the executive director at Giant Steps in studio with us to talk about this amazing gala they have coming up. It's the 22nd Annual Autism Awareness Month Charity Gala. And I know they're partnering with Second City. It's a night of improv with Second City. It's coming up on Saturday, April 21st. Dr. Sylvia, I know you want me to call you Sylvia, but I'm not going to. I can't do it. Doc.
Oh, sure you can.
I can't.
All right.
Hi. Hello. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
How long have you worked with Giant Steps out in Lyle?
Well, actually, I had been on the board for probably over 18 years, but It wasn't until 2 years ago when they asked me to step up and join the program as the executive director.
How did you get involved 18 years ago? What was a drawing element?
Well, my undergraduate is in special ed, and I've taught in the classroom and been very familiar with all types of areas of special needs. And I had a friend who was on the board at the time, and we just got to talking, and one thing led to another, and he asked if I'd be interested, and I said, absolutely.
You're like, I didn't ever thought you'd ask.
I know. I just went, oh, this is so exciting. So, yeah, I was thrilled, and it's been a mission of love ever since.
Oh, see, and that's the thing. People who are drawn to special education, I don't think are really lauded for the intense work that you do. Because did anybody else hear that beep? Mm-hmm. All right, that sounded weird. That made me scared. I'm like, that's a new sound. They don't think they realize not just how intense it is, but there's a fulfilling aspect to it that continues to draw people in, and that's because there are the lives that you touch, I know, really do move you to the work. But there are also a lot of barriers, whether it's financial or, you know, the community attitude towards, you know, what does it mean to have all these, you know, these resources going to these kids? How have you weathered all of that in the 18 years that you've been with Giant Steps and all the work that you've done?
Well, just what you said, sometimes people don't understand the needs. But the reality is these kids have every right to have the same kinds of opportunities as neurotypical children. We just need sometimes to give them a little bit more support. And the staff and our faculty there at Giant Steps are just amazing. I mean, I tell people I literally work in the Disneyland for special needs because miracles, big and small, happen every single day. But yes, we do have to fundraise. We do have to really be intent because it's up to us to make sure that we have a sustainable program that is built at the highest quality for our kids and their families, because we service the families just as much as we do the children because they need support.
And one of the things that I consider to be a misunderstanding, so when we talk about these issues that are important, really not to the special needs community, but to the community, to everyone. This is pertinent to us as human beings, I think. But people tell me, you know, we've gotten messages, Esmeralda has seen this, Michael has seen this, I'm so tired of hearing about the sick kids. The sick kids, Doc. Are children who have autism sick?
They're not sick. They're just unique and different.
Yeah.
And the reality is, just because a child or an individual has a diagnosis of autism does not mean that it's a barrier. It's just a way we find a different journey around that. And they can have a full and successful and fulfilled life just like anybody else. They have what it takes. Sometimes it takes us a little bit unique ways of getting about, finding out what they are, but we can do that.
Let's talk more about this when we come back and find out more about how you can get involved with Giant Steps and their annual charity this Saturday, April 21st. More after this break on 720 WGN. Coming up on April 21st, from 6:30 to 11, you can spend a night of improv with Second City to help Giant Steps in their goal to make sure that individuals who are not neurotypical, I love the way you put that, and it probably isn't easy for people to say that, but neurotypical in the sense that they take in the world differently. Whether for my son, he takes in the world, Dr. Sylvia, with whether it's tactile or auditory, visually, but he can't quite get it all to work at the same time.
Right.
And you have seen probably so many individuals throughout your career. What are some of the things that you want people to know about this gala and how it will help the kids and the adults in the community?
Well, as you said earlier, we do have to fundraise mm-hmm. to supplement the programming for our kids so that they have the best opportunity to be everything that they can be. And so the gala is on the 21st of April. And as you said, it's from 6:30 to 11, but it's got all kinds of things going on. We're going to have a live auction, a silent auction. We'll be dancing. Second City's going to be our entertainment mm-hmm. because we have been so excited because we've been partnering with Second City, and we actually have improv classes for individuals with autism at Giant Steps. And we had our first pilot in February, and it was so successful that now we're taking it to two, we're adding two more classes starting at the end of April. So improv is just absolutely perfect for our kids, because sometimes our kids are a little goofy and they act a little, you know, different, and it's fun. In an improv class, they absolutely can be themselves.
Right.
And it's encouraged, and it's not looked at as it's odd. It just allows them to be themselves. But I like to call it kind of an informal, formal way of helping them experience life skills so that they can practice it in a non-threatening, very safe environment.
I love that.
And so it is. It's so cool to watch these kids just kind of go from being quiet and sitting back to not even realizing what they're doing, you know, and they're creating experiences in their mind and their brain because they're given prompts on what to do. And the instructors, Nick and Molly, are just awesome.
When I was doing, I used to do classes with Second City, and one of the things that an instructor taught us was to be aware of your energy,
mm-hmm.
right? To the energy that you occupy in space and time, and what you bring to this experience, to this, you know, to it, our existence. And it makes sense that individual, like, to sort of put an individual who has autism like in a space where they have to be aware and feel comfortable with that is beautiful. I love that you're doing that.
It's so exciting, because now what we're going to be doing will be Second City and Giant Steps, we're looking to work together to create a curriculum mm-hmm. for this kind of a program. And it's just perfect, because the second series of classes will be looking at developing prompts for life skills and experiential, like if you're at the movies, you're going to be doing this, because they give them prompts to go in and do things. So why not let's begin to focus it on learning experiences that are a little, you know, sometimes harder for them, and make it fun so that they can have that muscle memory sort of thing,
right,
as they go into a theater, and if they're going to act like this. But it's very cool, because they're given opportunities to create information and things on their own, because each one gets to do something. and they can do whatever they want, and then there's no wrong answers. It's all right.
Yes, that's the mantra, you know, is that everything is yes and. You agree to everything that's happening.
Yes.
Yes, and the next thing is happening.
Exactly. Yeah. And you see kids just come out of their shell. It's just really, parents actually stay just to watch.
I love
because
that.
It is very cool. It's a lot of fun.
And again, we want to encourage everyone to participate in the Giant Steps 22nd Annual Autism Awareness Month Charity Gala. It's a night of improv with Second City. It's going to be at the Embassy Suites in Naperville. That's at 1823 Arbiter Court in Naperville. Go to mygiantsteps.org. And if folks want to volunteer or if they want to participate, maybe donate their time or supplies or money, how can they also find a way to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. They can go onto our website at mygiantsteps.org/, I believe it's auction.
Mm-hmm.
2018.
Or you can bid. If you're not there, you can bid on auction.
You can. Items. You can do that. You don't have to go. You know, you can do it online. It's just amazing. And this year, we typically have a fund the need. This year, we're going to be, we have two fund the needs, and one is going to be for our day school for vocational programming, and then for our adult program, which we've just launched, and we're in a capital campaign for our adults plus 22, that is in Sugar Grove,
right,
Illinois. And so
that's Canopy.
The Canopy program,
yes,
for plus 22, and it's in Sugar Grove. And I have to say, the Sugar Grove community is amazing. They have just adopted us.
Sure.
They're just wonderful. And our participants are welcome in their stores, in their facilities. Many of the vendors and different, like Ace Hardware, they're waiting for us to help our kids get to the point where they can start working with them. So we're looking to have vocational opportunities in Sugar Grove. And then, of course, the Rich Harvest Farms, the Rich family, has just opened their hearts up to us. And so our Canopy program is like, what I'd like to say is it's a reimagined community for adults with autism, because it offers a place for safe, fulfilled, and happy life. Just like you and I. Everybody
right.
deserves this. So why not just be part of a community and live life the way everybody wants to live?
Be a part of that kind of magic. I mean,
exactly.
And it shouldn't be magic, but that's what so many families are looking for when they find, you know, the help, the care, and the safety that they strive for their children. It feels magical. When you find the right people, it feels
great.
Well,
you know, for average individuals and average families, at one point, you see your kids getting off the payroll, you know, but the reality is some of our kids won't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you want to make sure that they are in a safe environment that
right.
will take care of them and really not just let them sit there and vegetate, but will challenge them on a day-to-day basis so that they don't go backwards.
And that's something that, so when my son was 3 years old, he was placed in a school that we didn't realize was not the right fit for him. And they said, you know, and we'd fought to get into that program because everyone's like, oh, this is the best school for him. All of his physical therapists, you go with the people who seem like they're the experts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it turned out it was just too big of a classroom for him. And we went in there one day and he was just off in the corner playing with a spinny toy when he was like three. And we realized like they weren't challenging him. They weren't, and we've since then been more proactive. But, you know, I think a lot of families, they're strained in so many different ways. And I know that Giant Steps has done such a great job of meeting that need of parents who know that their kids have potential, but they don't know how to tap into that. They've been to all the experts. They've had therapist after therapist. And in the trial and error that you guys must go through at Giant Steps is remarkable.
Well, we've learned a lot.
Yes.
And we try to give back and pass it forward. That's what it's all about. And we really encourage our parents. We're really building our parent club up so that there's parents who are engaged with each other and helping the school and feeling a part of it, just like you would in a public school PTA. But it's different with our guys because they learn from each other. We
right.
just had a parent council panel, a few weeks ago. And we had parents that had young children to parents who have 18, 19-year-olds, and each one gave their story and said what they liked and what they did and what worked, what didn't.
Sure.
And each of the parents learn from each other. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. It's turning your hand around, reaching out and lifting up the person coming behind you. Because when you get this diagnosis, it's a shocker. It's a huge shocker. And you just need people who understand and tell you it's going to be okay.
That's the hardest thing. I have a company called With Kind Words, and it's for, I do consulting and speeches for medical professionals, because they have all these stats, they have their experience, they have the prognosis, and it's not easy for them, and it's actually not part of their, you know, criteria to say it's going to be okay, right? Because I don't think they feel comfortable with that, but it's more about what language do you use to empower a parent to feel like it's going to be okay? You can't say it's going to be okay, because that sounds dismissive, like we were talking about earlier.
Well, there's different levels of okay.
Right.
And that's what you have to learn. There's different levels of okay.
Yeah. And it's so unimaginable to a parent who has to let go of what they thought their life was going to be like.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's different, no less wonderful. Just different.
And that's a hard place to get to.
Yes, it is. And as an academic, I've read all the research and done all that stuff, but it's nothing compared to being there in the moment when you see these aha moments, and when you see a child struggling because the sensory issues are causing them this or that, and they have a meltdown. And, you know, our staff is so good at helping them work through that and come through that and have a better day in spite of, you know, a meltdown here or there. It's just part of the game. You know, we welcome the whole child. We take them where they are, and we just try to move forward with them at whatever level they're at.
Meet them where they are.
Right. Absolutely.
Something we've talked to you guys about at Giant Steps is meet me where
Absolutely.
I am with our kiddos.
They're important. And it doesn't matter where they are.
Yes.
That's
where they are.
Who they are.
Let's go. Yeah.
We respect that.
I also want to make sure people know about SPARK. We've talked about this a couple times on the show. And this is Igniting Autism Research, which can help improve lives. And I want to make sure that people go to SPARK. I don't have the website on this page necessarily, but this is really gathering a lot of genetic information. It's spark.org. Hold on, let me turn your microphone on, otherwise I can't. What was the, come on over. That was that one works too. I can turn them on.
spark.org/rush.
spark.org/rush. And there, if you have an individual in your family who has been diagnosed with autism, this is a research program of great magnitude.
It's a landmark study.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is we just don't know enough about it. And there's a lot of different variations of what's going on, but we need to get to the bottom of it. And this is a study that is being held across the United States with over 20 major medical universities, and we're with Rush here in Chicago. And Giant Steps is hosting a Spark clinic on April 7th, next Saturday.
Oh, that's why we wanted to be here this week, was to make sure April 7th is your SPARK event. Okay?
From 9:30 to 1, and parents just drop in. If you want to register, that's great, but you can just drop in, and it's very simple. They're just trying to get saliva samples from over 50,000 individuals, and by getting that, then they can start to hone in on the common genetic markers that might help us to understand it a little deeper, and therefore open up another, you know, journey of research for both medical and educational, because medical will go in one way, but educational researchers will take what we learn and try to create better therapies and better programs to better improve what we do with our kids on a daily basis.
It's been a pleasure hanging out with Dr. Sylvia Smith, again, the executive director at Giant Steps. Go to mygiantsteps.org for information about their annual charity auction for autism, presenting a night of improv with Second City. Also, don't forget, she mentioned the program coming up with Spark from 9:30 to 1 on Saturday, April 7th. You can go to mygiantsteps.org for information.
And we're Lyle.
In Lyle.
Yes.
And someone wants to connect with you, and let me see if I can get more information from them. Quick break here, and then the news. Oh my gosh, we are just flying through this show, Jen Zanotti. This has been a lot of fun hanging out with you. Jen Zanotti is our Motivational Monday inspiring guest of the evening. I know, because I mean, the positivity, there's so much negativity out there. Do you ever get this feeling like when someone's just overly angry and irate? I feel like I channel that and I get, it makes me kind of giddy in a weird way and just bounce
Ooh,
it right
good
back
for you,
at them. You don't feel the same way?
Not at all.
People want to be jerks. I'm like, look at you. You're so mad. You're adorable. Look at you with your red face and your spewing hatred. Paul, do you find yourself like in court when the more angry someone gets, the kind of giddier you get?
Not just in court, just in life in general. I like to, even it shows, like you find the person who's like clearly not having a good time and you're like, why are you here? Like, why are you angry at the world?
Yeah. This seems like wasted energy.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in jiu-jitsu. Do you find, Jen, that when like you have to use someone's energy for momentum, mm-hmm. right? So I use someone's negative energy and like I'm like, oh, look, I'm just going to go ahead.
You like deflect it back.
I mean, that's what
I'm saying. That's like the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Need that bubble.
It's not going to
penetrate
into you, you know?
It will not penetrate into me. I didn't do that. That did not happen during my watch. Look at Jen Zanotti making Nick D's out of context.
I just don't even know what else
Monday.
I can say right now. It's just Monday. It's just, yeah.
You can't say that's what she said anymore. I don't think that's right. Oh. Wouldn't make sense.
By the way, I am excited. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go see a movie in the theater. I know it sounds weird to say out loud. I'm going to go buy a ticket and everything. I'm going to see Little Shop of Horrors. Everyone can go see Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, I saw that.
Have you seen it? Have you seen it in the theater?
No.
We're seeing it at the Rosemont Movie Co. for Nick D's Movie Club.
I saw that event and sadly I cannot go. I have to teach jiu-jitsu.
Paul?
I've got a show. Actually, I'll be right there in Rosemont though. But
you'll be at Zanies?
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right,
but
fine.
I've never seen it, but last night on Head of the Class, which I watch reruns on at 2:30 in the morning, they redid Little Shop of Horrors, and Arvid, if you remember him, the nerdy character on Head of the Class, was the main guy. Yeah.
Seymour.
But I learned about the play because they played a lot of the actual play, like the different parts. So now I know what it's about.
I saw a production of Little Shop of Horrors at the Royal George Theater right there on Halsted near North Avenue. And at the end of the play, you know, there's a different ending to Little Shop of Horrors. In the play version of it, the plant actually takes over the planet.
Really?
she takes over the whole planet. So in the theater, like these vines, all the tendrils of the plant come rolling like from the ceiling.
Wow.
So as though the entire audience is going to be devoured by the plant. Yes. Why can't I remember the plant's name? I remember Seymour. Suddenly Seymour. What's the name of it?
That was great. I've not seen that in so long.
It's named
Audrey.
After Audrey. I remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yes, Audrey takes over the planet.
Audrey 2, because
there's
the first one's a human.
Yes, she's the
original. Yeah.
Shop work.
I think that was Robin Givens' character on Head of the Class.
Oh, there you go. This is how you know it. Did you also, what I know about Rocky Horror Picture Show, I learned from the series Glee. So we are kind of in the same boat.
Wait, did you never see?
I've never seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No. Really? I haven't either.
Mm-mm. See?
No.
Oh, good.
Wow.
That's a movie I'm not. See, she's reacting the same way.
So, now you know how it feels.
It's a cult. I don't mind. I'm used to it.
I haven't seen Star Wars, and we've talked about that before.
There we go.
So
see?
It's, you know.
Yeah. Ooh, that reminds me, before we go to our break and we find out how people did with their Deadpool bets from last week and who was the winner, we got a text on Friday night, and I was thinking about, there are things that happen on our text screen that like I think about and I'm like, why would you? So I saw the movie Black Panther, and I have seen a lot of the Marvel and the DC comic book movies and their different manifestations, and some of them I'm not a big fan of the X-Men movies necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I did love Wonder Woman. And maybe it's because it's a character that I grew up with. I wanted to be Wonder Woman. I loved Linda Carter.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that movie. But I was not a big fan of Black Panther, which is the biggest blockbuster comic book movie in the United States history, right?
I've never heard someone say they didn't like it.
I did not think it was as great as everyone seemed to be making it out to be. Mm-hmm. I liked the movie. I thought that there were some really great moments. It was really fun. It was definitely a great action. But I didn't think it was better than all the, like, people made, I kind of bought into the hype.
Ever.
Yes. Right. So somebody texted me and they were like, oh, you like that piece of garbage Wonder Woman movie? And like, Black Panther. I was like, wow, that's, you heard that totally differently than I said it. I just didn't, I thought it was as good, perhaps, as the first Thor movie. We can get into that whole thing. But for me, it just wasn't, it wasn't as big as the hype. And I enjoyed it. But yes, that's, I, but it's amazing how people, like, again, they lose their minds.
Right. I mean, and you love Wonder Woman, so you were excited about that movie. I mean,
love me some Wonder Woman. I enjoyed that. I liked that interpretation of her.
Yes.
So I'm saying, and I'm not familiar with Black Panther as a comic book hero. Mm-hmm. I went to go see it for the action. So maybe if I, if it seemed true to me, if I, you know, grown up with the,
yeah,
the lore.
Connection.
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of lore, let's see what's going on in the White House. There's a lot of, there's another book coming out, Paul. There's another book coming out.
Yeah, I saw that guy interviewed on televisions.
On television. Did you see who he said is the biggest leaker in the House?
Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway. Mm-hmm. Kellyanne Conway is the biggest source of information, it turns out. All those leaks, and there's all this finger pointing. And for anyone who, and this is not, this is just having a conversation about what's out there in the strategy, like sort of in the, you know, conversation of whether it's the books,
it's
what they
the
tweet.
News.
It's the news. It's what's happening. So we'll have a conversation about that.
And a game.
And who is safe and not safe in the White House, in this administration. There we have a Deadpool going, and there's at least one winner from last week.
Yeah.
So if you feel that you won, I think that we did keep track of the phone numbers, and you have to call in order to play Deadpool. If you won last week's Deadpool, you have a gift card from Apt Electronics coming your way, but you have to call us back. We do have the phone number for the winner from last week.
And then this week, who's going to...
And place your bets.
Place your bets, yeah.
Now, the rule is that the first person who calls in with a guess or a choice for who's going to be next, who's going to be banished from the White House or from this administration, you do have to call in. You cannot text your answer to be eligible for a prize. Our prize, a closet genie, came out and said, no more! That was the voice she used. Yeah, she said, no more! To the texters. I don't know why she's Russian or whatever, but she might be. Maybe
or German.
Thus, more after this. 312-981-7200 to call in to give us your guess on who will
who by between today and next Monday, who is going to be the next to leave or be fired from the administration, or if you think
everyone's going to stay.
Then that's an option too. You can win with that.
That's like, it's like when everyone else, you know, guesses a price on The Price is Right.
Right.
And then one person says $1.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So you can guess.
You can pull a Price is Right. Yeah.
Yes. Pull a Price is Right. Whatever you'd like to do. More after this on 720 WGN. It is time to play Deadpool. Who do you think in this administration might be on their way out? Now, this is Paul, we've been accused of being political on this, but this is an observation.
You have been.
When you're sitting in that seat with the microphone up against your face, you are also being broadcast into the air, into the ether.
We're not accurate.
People aren't distinguishing between us.
Uh-huh.
So it's considered a political conversation. But Jen, we're not being political when we say this is actually what's happening. People are being let go and fired.
Right.
This is not a
You're talking about what's happening right now. You're not giving any political opinions.
And we're bringing a little bit of an opportunity for people to benefit from the kind of chaotic situation that
Exactly.
Right. So
we're
bringing a positive.
Right.
Yes,
we're bringing a positive to something that might be upsetting for people on both sides.
Right. Like the fact that there is somebody in the White House that maybe you think has brought some sanity, maybe some seriousness in a way that maybe wasn't there before, and you might be worried that they're on their way out. Like, Bob, who do you think might be on their way out in our game of Deadpool to win a gift card from Apt Electronics
next Monday?
For next Monday. So between now and next Monday, if your guess is forced to resign or sends a letter of resigning
or fired
or is fired, but we don't know. Bob, who do you think is on their way out next?
I've got to go with John Kelly. Dead man walking. He gets his parole papers this week.
Wow, that's
a very good guess.
Are you worried if General Kelly is forced out of the White House that would even disrupt things more in the White House, Bob?
Well, I think it probably will. He seems to have had as much control as a person could have, you know, over this this president. You know, you can't control his tweets and all the things that he likes to do on his own. But he has seen. I mean, you know, he got in there kind of around, you know, when there was like, if you can believe it, it seemed like even more chaos. But You know, I think he's probably had from what I hear, irreconcilable differences at this point. So it's
there are some rumblings.
That's been going on for a while, though, Bob. But you know, that's a very good guess. I think on the Trump.
For a bonus,
it's the only guy I can remember that's still on the administration. There's so many people that go in and out.
Well, Kellyanne Conway's been there since the beginning, and she is still there. So,
she's still on the board.
But I can see. Do you think that maybe President Trump chafes a little bit at any sort of restrictions that General Kelly might put on him when it comes to being able to express himself on Twitter or in front of the microphones?
And I don't think Kelly gives him that. He's not that rah-rah that really is feeds into his ego as much as some of the other people talk when he says talk, and I think Kelly does he does his job, and but he's not gonna be a good job selling the president and things that he doesn't want to extend himself on.
Well, we have your. Can you write down?
I have Bob's information. Bob, if John Kelly is no longer in the administration next Monday at midnight, you win an Apt Electronics prize.
Correct. But
John Kelly is off the books.
I wish I could say good luck to you, but I don't want to see. I don't know how. that would be wishing ill on General Kelly. So,
that's right.
It's a good guess.
Thank you so much
Hey, I appreciate it. We love your show in Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, thank you so much in Omaha, Bob. Great to hear your voice.
Great Counting Crows song.
We will. And here's the thing: if you don't win, you can always vote again next Monday. Have a great week. Since the beginning of the President Trump administration, there has been a record number of people who've been replaced, who have resigned, who have been let go, who have been forced to quit their positions. And there are a lot of different stats out there that people can search for and how his administration compares to President Trump, President Obama's, President Bush. And these are
President
different
Garfield.
It goes all the way back. So it is something to sort of to step back and remark and go, this is interesting, and I do feel badly for people who want to be public servants, who put themselves out there, who say, I really believe I'm committed to making our country a better place for everyone. I want to contribute. I just want to do the right thing. And I believe that there are people who have been in this administration who fully embrace that. So, we have it, but there is also an aspect to this, like, what's going to happen next? And if you don't sort of laugh at things, in a way that if you feel harmed by our conversation and this sort of back and forth in our Deadpool round every single week, like who's safe, who's not safe, it's just a way to put it in context for us, right? What's the criteria for not being safe in the White House? Mm-hmm. And like, I think that there is one person who might be in the Deadpool who hasn't even been confirmed yet. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, because we do have other people who want to put their votes in for who's safe or not safe for this week through Monday next week. Yes.
I just want to point out, last week we ran out and a lot of people wanted people that weren't on the board. There's a lot of names on the board right now that have not been picked yet for next week.
And there actually was a casualty between last week and tonight, and the winner of the Applet Trunks gift card has to call back. You do have to be listening in order to win, because that's just the way this, it's like being present at a raffle. When your number is pulled,
exactly,
you have to be present to win. So 312-981-7200, our winner for last week.
We know who you are.
And you would know. I mean, like, that's also a way for you to be informed of like what's going on through the week. So there was somebody who was let go, who was received the information just prior to the tweet firing. He wasn't, it was public before he had a chance to sort of digest it and share the information with his family. Mm-hmm. But 312-981-7200 for the person who guessed or predicted who was going to be next gone out of this White, who is not safe in this White House, please give us a call and let us know who that was, and we will confirm that and match that with our information that we took down last week. So we are now taking prognostications for next week. Glenn, who do you think is going to be out before midnight next Monday?
Well, I picked Sanders last week, but at this rate, I think she'll quit first before she gets fired. because she's got to be running out of excuses.
I haven't been following. I feel as though, do you have the feeling, Glenn, that there is less attention paid to her press conferences because it just becomes sort of a non-answer in many ways? I haven't watched too much of the coverage on the press conferences.
Yeah, well, I haven't either, but it seems like every time they ask for something, she says, well, the president's already answered that, you know, so she's deflecting answers back to the president. But I feel bad for her, I really do.
Right.
But, well, he's not a staff member, but the CNN senior correspondent, Acosta.
Jim Acosta.
Which is, yeah.
He's
well,
a-
with what he did on, with what he did on Sunday, yelling at the president while he's coloring Easter egg with his kids and everything, about yelling about, what about the DACA kids, which was totally, I don't know, bad taste. I guess he's getting flack too, so he won't get he can't get fired from the White House, but he can be asked not to come back.
He could be banned from the press.
Yes, they can pull his credentials and not allow.
I think
we'll allow that.
So banning. So we're so that makes him unsafe to enter the White House. I think that falls under the criteria of Deadpool.
We will.
We talked. Did you talk to the lady in the
closet prize closet genie? Okay.
Yeah.
She says okay. She's
Italian now. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, that's I mean, he's not the first one that sticks their foot in the mouth, but he's the latest one to do it. So I'm gonna have to go with him.
Okay, I will put that on the board. So CNN's Jim Acosta, who
Glenn,
is he's
you're a, on the board. Jim Acosta is off the books.
All right, so you've picked him.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Glenn. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's see who Barbara thinks will be out by next week. Barbara, who do you think is done by next Monday?
I think the EPA guy, Pruitt. Oh. Scott Pruitt.
What makes you say that? Because it seems as though the president's on board.
I think he's misused some of our monies, taxpayer monies, and I recently heard he's changed some wording and documents to leave out, omit, and change wording. So I don't know. I would like to see him out, but who knows?
So I was not aware of this. The White House is looking into the Environmental Protection Agency's administrator, Scott Pruitt, and his housing situation amid reports that he rented a room in D.C.
Oh, yeah, that too.
From the family of an energy lobbyist.
Whoa.
Right, right.
Taking money,
Barbara,
and giving it to the...
Well... And cuddling
other
with
people,
the energy lobbyists. I mean, like, he's
jokes on them because I didn't pay my taxes yet, so it's not my taxpayer money.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, Barbara, we're putting you down,
Barbara,
for Scott Pruitt to be gone by next Monday.
Scott Pruitt is off the books.
That's right. So thank you, Barbara. You have a wonderful evening. It's always great to hear your voice.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So,
still on the books, Jim Sessions, Kellyanne Conway, Ben Carson, Betsy DeVos, Vice President Pence, Ivanka, Jared...
By the way, Colleen, now Colleen, so this will have to be a question for the panel and for our closet, prize closet genie, right? So Trucker Colleen says she did call, and I remember Trucker Colleen calling in last week.
I do recall.
I recall her call. She had voted for Betsy DeVos to be gone this week.
She did.
Yes. And
she's saying it again?
She's letting others call, but she's so thinking it's going to be Betsy DeVos.
Based. Well, she called last week, so what's the rule? We can allow...
Can we allow a holdover?
Can you allow it
holdover?
To continue to the next?
I say okay.
Well, I think she wants to leave the door open for other listeners who might think it's Betsy DeVos. So we will honor that request. 312-981-7200. No one has chosen that everyone is safe. So that's an easy vote.
Well.
Yeah, if you think that everyone's going to be in place by next Monday, 312-981-7200. And this is everyone's game. This is not like
surprise.
This is no slam on the administration. It's an observation of the trend.
We're making a positive out of a negative.
Well, every time you and I do this, Paul, I think I kind of laugh at it. I'm like, this will be fun. We'll just do this as a lark and we'll talk about who might be safe. And each time we've played this game, somebody has been flushed from the White House. Mm. So I don't know how else to put it, except that we've kind of been reflecting. Deadpool does reflect the trend in the White House. 312-981-7200. Mm. Who do you think is safe and not safe in this administration? And also the option to say everyone is safe.
I think that's a good option.
That's
Somebody
a good option.
It's
a safe bet.
One.
I mean, it's like playing
it is a safe bet.
It's like putting your chip on black number seven. I don't know how you do all that stuff, but I'm just
evens or odds.
Evens or odds, right? Yeah, pick and evens or odds. 312-981-7200. And let's find out. My guess is actually somebody who isn't going to even has not taken their job yet. I think that maybe they might not even get the job.
I have a similar prediction. Was it what you and I were just talking about or different?
We're going to have some audio and see what people think about incoming possible. Yes. Leader in the White House. More after this on 720 WGN. So we've got a lot of our votes in for our guesses or predictions for our Deadpool. We so far have on the books, we have General John Kelly, who is the chief of staff. Yes,
off the books. CNN, Jem Acosta is going to be banned from the press. What is it called? The press
room? His media credentials will be yanked.
Yes, that's
and
a good
he'll
way
be banned
saying.
From the White House. Is what you think? What they think? Yes.
Correct. Well, that's what they think. Mm-hmm. Then we have Scott Pruitt is off the books, and possibly Betsy DeVos.
Okay, yes, those are all the right.
So what was your theory?
Oh, I think that I'm curious to find out how it turns out whether or not the admiral, the rear admiral,
that's what I said,
is going to
you
make it through
idea.
The vetting. I'm sorry. But here, I asked Michael to pull audio, and if this is who you think should be running the VA, because Rear Admiral Jackson, Rodney Jackson, believes that President Trump is capable of doing something that I've never heard any other doctor predict. What does the Rear Admiral think about President Trump's health? Let's hear this.
So this is in a press conference, and it just gives a little bit of insight into what he's been thinking through a question.
Okay. So let's see what the Rear Admiral thinks.
McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicks and all those Diet Cokes, and who never exercises, is in as good a shape as you say he's in.
It's called genetics. I don't know. It's some people have, just great genes. You know, I told the president that if he had a healthier diet over the last 20 years, he might live to be 200 years old. I don't know. I mean, he has incredible genes.
There you go. So Rear Admiral Jackson thinks that President Trump could have lived to be 200 years old if he'd taken better care of himself. So that is who President Trump is naming to be the new head of the Veteran Affairs. Yes.
But he's joking. Come on.
He's, what?
He's joking.
He's in a press conference.
Yeah, but he's
I don't know. He could live to be 200 years old.
The whole reason he's getting the job.
I mean, he's exaggerating a little bit there. But.
Yeah, he's just having fun because, and that's why he got promoted, because he's so good on TV.
He's
a handsome fella too, right?
So do you think he'll make it through the vetting process? By the way, the VA is the second largest bureaucracy in the country.
Yes. And I don't
think. And he has been the White House doctor.
For years.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For under the last two.
For one person.
Oh, just Obama too, though.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
at a
in
time.
Addition. Right.
So
right.
He has been the.
Right.
That's
his only responsibility.
He's been the physician for one person at a time.
That's going to be a big
difference.
Who
will now take on the
number.
Second biggest bureaucracy in the United States.
Well.
Just curious about.
It's
what
like
you think.
When it's like in comedy when you do shows at an open mic and then you go and open at the Chicago Theater, which happens pretty much all the time.
It's a little bit more like because comics don't have the same kind of responsibility as an individual's health,
laughing,
and well-being,
making people laugh,
and making sure someone survives. Like let's say the doctor has a heart attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
The president has a heart attack,
right?
The person that you rely on the most will be his personal physician.
Yes.
So maybe and maybe with that criteria, here's somebody who's responsible for the most like powerful person on the planet. So maybe that street cred makes him eligible and qualified to be responsible for some of the most important human beings in our country, who are the men and women who have served in the military. So I guess that's a way you can justify. I think that could work if you extrapolate that way. So there you go. So having been responsible for the most powerful person on the planet, he is now being appointed to be responsible for some of the most important people in our country.
But
on a grand scale,
he does a good job at the press conferences, which I think is more important.
So, qualified.
That's more important.
Well, some people say it's a qualification, being congenial appealing. could go miles for him to get what needs
he's
to be done.
He's got a cool name too. I mean, it's a
Jen's
really
like,
cool name.
Just like, I don't know what weird. I'm being positive, Jen.
Yeah, that's
you
like,
are.
I also.
And I'm the one questioning.
No. You have a question mark at the end of you are.
Yeah.
Yes. Esmeralda, what do you think? Being responsible for one person, now being responsible for the largest bureaucracy in the second largest bureaucracy in the United States.
What's the largest?
I think it's Social Security, because we're sense. All in that bureaucracy.
Yep.
Yeah.
How is that one person?
How is that? I mean, President Obama came out of his administration just fine, and President Trump as Rear
Although
Admiral.
I feel like that's not really that Obama was. His own, he was doing his own thing.
We don't know that.
As in
maybe.
Taking care of himself.
Okay.
We don't know what Jackson did to improve his health. Maybe he's the whole reason he's still with us.
Yeah, I'm going to say that was Michelle, but.
Well, I don't know. And we don't know, perhaps also Rear Admiral Dr. Jackson has had a positive influence. Maybe President Trump has changed his diet. We haven't really heard much about that. Maybe he's eating some of those hard-boiled eggs that were on his front lawn yesterday, which would be a good source of
is he using
protein.
That,
yeah, absolutely.
The thing that Michael uses to make...
Dash? Does he use the Dash?
Oh, geez, I don't know. That's on that's on a whole
Michael.
Other level. he could. I mean, to be honest, I'm a friendly guy. He could borrow mine if he wants to eat a healthier diet.
Does he just have one? Or is there multiple? I thought they come in packs of three.
There's one, but you can make six at a time. It's a genius idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure about... Are you familiar with this device?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not.
So rather than boiling eggs, Michael, and you have one as well, a smaller Dash?
No, I have an Instant Pot where I can make a bunch.
Of a lot of things.
At one time.
There's different methods.
How is that Instant Pot?
I enjoy it.
Yeah?
I mean, it depends. It depends on... Are you, in the way that you cook, I want to say. Because there's a lot of people who don't, if you don't like gadgets and things, it's going to be kind of useless, I feel.
I was just thinking that could be a good birthday gift for mom.
Oh, I think so. That's a good one. Or a Mother's Day gift for those who are looking.
Is she big on gadget stuff?
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend.
The friend that lives in my house and sometimes sleeps in my bed.
My boyfriend's brother got one for their mom, and she would just come with, she was like, nope, I don't use that stuff.
I'd say go with the Dash.
So what exactly is the Dash?
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Michael. What is the Dash?
The Dash is an all-in-one egg cooker. You can make deviled eggs. You can make hard-boiled eggs. Any kind of egg you want.
Okay.
And all it takes is just you plug it in, you start it up, a little bit of water, a hole in an egg, and you got six hard-boiled eggs to perfection.
Michael, did you just say it makes hard-boiled eggs and deviled eggs?
Yeah, it makes any kind of egg you want.
You know that deviled eggs are just hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs that you
require some work, some scooping, some mashing, some mixing.
In my defense, I've never made a deviled egg before. So
let's end it. And just to be clear, I've neither done either of those as well. So I'm on your side, Michael. I got your back.
We have a clarification on the country's largest bureaucracy. From the 815, they're saying it is the Pentagon, which makes sense.
So Social Security is third?
I don't know where Social Security falls. But it would make sense. If the VA is number two, then the sort of the path to that would be the Pentagon.
What about the doctor? Mm-hmm. What's the personal doctor of the president? Where does that fall in the level of bureaucracy?
So he would be in the largest, now going to be running the second largest bureaucracy. So that maybe he has experience. Yes, go ahead.
I just said I was going to have, I have a similar theory to yours that I think he's going to get axed, but mine is that something's going to come up in his past that's going to explode, like he had a sex tape with Kim Kardashian or something.
I find that a lot of the military personnel that has come up for sort of these hearings and being vetted seem to have weathered that scrutiny very well. So, by the way, from the 630, if Dr. Jackson is keeping Trump going, pray that his nomination to head the VA is approved. So he's saying if he's been responsible for keeping President Trump going, and maybe he can turn that skill set into running again the second largest bureaucracy in the country. Jen's still trying to figure out where I'm going with that. I'm trying to be positive about it, because nothing I say will have an any impact on that. I want the best for our men and women in uniform.
100%.
And, you know, we have fallen down on our promise to them repeatedly, not just under this administration, definitely during Obama's administration, definitely under President Bush, under President Clinton. There, I mean, not since the 1940s or 50s have we honestly, maybe, and I could be wrong, because I'm sure that there are veterans who came home from World War II and from the Korean War who were not taken care of in the way that we had promised them we would.
Yeah, this is something.
It is always a promise to make sure that the men and women who take on a job that most of us can't or won't do get the best and the most that they deserve from us.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Let me take it. More after this.
I'm going to argue with you on that.
More after this on 720 WGN. It is Monday evening. I know it's Tuesday morning for some folks, but you know what? It is for us. We haven't gone to bed yet, so to me, it's a Monday night. When I go to bed and wake up again, then it will be Tuesday. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me is Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert and jiu-jitsu instructor and champion.
Yes,
you've won your gold medals, and I know you're in a new belt class, and I love that you're rising to that challenge. It's like you're like, yeah, what's next?
It's awesome.
You keep showing
up.
You
have to be open to the opportunity. It's amazing. It keeps me going.
Yeah, and by the way, one of the things that keeps me going are the people that I work with. As if I, hi, Ez, how are you doing? If I haven't said this lately, I love showing up to work with Esmeralda Leon.
Aww,
and you're welcome. And Michael, I also want to say, first of all, there's a listener who says that Dash is the best for soft-boiled eggs.
They're genius.
Now, Ez, are you a fan of the soft-boiled eggs?
I am.
So I made molten eggs one day. I wanted to make the kind you get like in, you know, ramen shops. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting adventure because there is that delicate balance. So I guess, how do you set Dash to make sure you're making soft-boiled eggs? Was it just like a shorter...
Yeah,
is it part steam? Is it, I don't understand how Dash works.
It's part steam. It's to make a soft boiled egg. It's just the amount of water that you put into it actually. And so it's going to be I think it's a 12-minute timer, and you put just a little bit of water in there, and they come out perfect every time. It's really the greatest invention of all of mankind. So I think everyone should go out and get one.
Of all
how
mankind.
Long does it take for the hard boiled egg?
It takes the exact same amount of time, but with more water.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, right, it's that easy.
I also
exact same time. What do you mean?
So 12 minutes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But with less water, so there's less heat.
How much does it take if you don't use Dash?
It will. Okay, so that's what was my problem.
About 12 minutes.
Isn't it about the same?
Well, it's 12 minutes, but then you don't know because you need to dump them in the ice, and there's a lot of waiting and patience, and I just couldn't do that. I'm a busy man here, so.
He's very busy.
I am so hungry.
I've got your back,
I know,
Michael.
I'm
going to take his
eggs.
Side on this.
We should have an egg party one of these days.
Does the shell come off perfectly?
It comes off like.
That's the most important.
Like butter.
Yes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Like butter.
We got to get the Dash people
worth
on
looking
here.
Into.
Yeah, I think the Dash should be our sponsors.
I think they use that at ramen places. That's why it's so perfect. Yeah.
Well, I made those molten eggs, and there's a technique to how you get them sort of liquidy but cooked on the inside, and then you also soak them for about a day in soy sauce. What?
I'm just laughing at the top. We're
you didn't
talking
laugh.
About
no, that was actually a snort. That was actually a snort. That was in the laugh. I mean, like that
was. Well, because I think it's funny. That's all. So,
what?
Poor Michael. That we're talking about soft boiled eggs.
He doesn't have soft boiled eggs. He likes to make soft boiled eggs.
I know.
From the 412.
The year of fear.
I wanted to say from the 412, thank Michael for posting the show when you are done. Some producers on WGN don't. You are lucky to have him. I'm gonna send a text right now to our bosses because I had in the past been texting them every week. Thank you for Michael Heidemann. I mean, they didn't make you, but they gifted me with you. So. Thank you.
I am very happy to be here. Any show that I can talk about eggs, I'm just and pickles and Patty, seeing you every night is also great.
We have pickles in my office, by the way.
Speaking of pickles, you know we haven't played lately.
What have we not? Oh, what's Paul eating?
Yeah.
Well, it was always pickles, so we had to stop the game for a while.
No, I've got a new strategy.
You have to recalibrate.
What is this game?
Yeah, what's the new game?
Oh shit, we have to. That's what we need to do.
She's never about this game.
It's an egg. Oh, sorry.
You ruined the game, Michael.
My bad.
We were talking before the news about the most hideous or terrifying thing you've ever encountered, mostly on your house, on your property. Esmeralda, have you ever come across something that just gave you the whims for the rest of your life, wherever you were?
Oh, those bugs with the million legs on them.
Ah, centipedes.
Oh. Are they centipedes?
Yes.
Because I thought they were different, the ones that run around.
Do they have like little, are they earwigs? Like with the little antennas?
The big antennas.
Yeah, earwigs.
Yeah. Those scare the bejesus out of me.
I'll send a picture. They're a little more frightening to me. I don't know.
The centipedes are?
Yeah.
Why are centipedes so
I don't think I've ever seen a centipede.
They're so long and they have like a million legs.
They do. Let me show you a picture of an earwig so that you can get an idea.
I don't think I've ever seen a centipede.
I have a bug.
A centipede is a.
I have something like similar happens, but they're around my house. They only come in night after like midnight. They like all file around, and they're like centipedes, but they're like really harmless.
You know what? It's funny.
They're what?
I think that as you know what, Esmeralda.
They don't look like that though.
I'm gonna come show you this. I'm gonna send you a picture of what I think Jen's talking about.
Yes. That is a centipede.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my god. Centipedes have like a what hard is that? Shell, right?
What's that?
No. Wait, you have to Google centipede.
What is that called, Patty?
That's a centipede that I showed you a picture of. Yeah.
Esmeralda's got a...
I think Esmeralda and I were thinking like that fuzzier looking bug, right? It has like the millipede.
Oh, God. I'm
yeah,
because
like, I think they run...
These look... I think you're talking about this
A centipede is... And they're very common.
They have way more legs than the earwig does, but they look similar in color and that antenna in the front.
Can you send me a picture of that? Because that's what I need to call the...
Oh yeah, no, it's not a near whiff.
Because they said that it was a weird thing. So.
Oh yeah, no, I can't even keep this on my phone. It's too frightening.
It's too terrifying for you.
It's too terrifying.
Michael, how about you? What's the most terrifying thing you have encountered in your apartment or at home growing up?
Oh my gosh. Well, I grew up in the northwest suburbs, and it's a very farm friendly
rural
parts of town.
Rural
very
part.
Rural, yeah. Yes. And I think that I just saw a photo of that centipede, and that's a scary looking insect.
Well, but someone asked if it's a silverfish.
The silver, so scary.
Yeah, a lot of people say the silverfish is pretty scary, and I see a lot of those. But nothing scarier than about needing to take a shower and seeing a cockroach come up from your drain.
Oh.
And they look so strong. They have muscles. And and seeing one of those look at you in the eyes, that is the most terrifying thing for
they
me.
They become just much larger than you. These bugs,
they're
like,
bigger
it's
than
terrifying.
You think. Yeah.
Yes.
They're like the goldfish that like grow to the size of their environment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
When we went down for our freshman orientation at the University of Illinois, my roommate Jocelyn and I were taking show. We were at ISR. The Illinois Street Residence Hall, and we hadn't decided which dorm we were. It wasn't freshman orientation, but it was like a weekend where you went down and like check things out. But we were at ISR, and we were taking a shower. It was just the two of us, and I went to open the curtain, and something came flying out of the curtain, and it was flying. I had never seen flying roaches before, and that was we were like, not
God.
This place, not
no.
ISR.
No.
Well, and
no.
Our theory was because it's a high rise, it's one of the high rise dorms. There comes a problem with maintenance when you have that many floors and that many people and that much plumbing and how much are you going to spend on that? So we ended up at Allen Hall instead, which is just four floors.
Allen Hall, I do remember that.
But we could not do. I never was able to go back and even visit anybody at ISR. I'm like, you and your flying cockroach droppings can just so
you know the worst is in warm weather cockroaches just hang out.
I heard that. The noise. That's disgusting.
Did you hear the? Oh my God! This is all I'm gonna have nightmares about tonight.
I know.
I'm sorry, Esmeralda. I just got my entire hard drive was just wiped clean with the sound of the bugs. What were you saying, Es?
No, I was saying in warm weather, cockroaches they're just there because it's warm, humid weather. It doesn't matter if it's clean, dirty house. They are all over the place. It's disgusting.
By the way, the glory of this is that people are now sending us pictures of really creepy crawly.
Oh
so
God.
Here's a house centipede from the 815. Thank you very much.
That's what I'm talking about. And apparently they do eat after midnight.
Oh, look at that.
So. Yeah. We used to have them in our basement and you would see one just like start crawling up on the wall from downstairs.
Oh,
I'd be like, oh my God.
Oh boy.
Horrible.
So in Florida... In Sarasota, Florida, he went outside to just check out his pool, maybe do a little maintenance, and he discovered an 11-foot alligator.
Oh, boy.
Well, wait, they have...
Yes.
So my brother lives in Sarasota, and they have a pond in the back, and there are baby alligators there all the time. And there's a, when you know you have crossing, kids crossing thing, they have a crossing thing for alligators. So like this is where they cross to go from the bridge to the other side. But it's not like big, but nobody's scared of them. Like my nephew was like, yeah, there's the, they're like there all the time. I guess they don't, they're not dangerous. Sarasota, Florida.
Wow.
Lizards in tropical weather too. Like geckos and stuff. And well,
are you scorpions are there too. You got to be careful for scorpions in Arizona.
Oh my gosh.
Are you as afraid of lizards and reptiles as you are of like alligators and bugs? Because I would, I mean, a lizard you might, I mean, they're kind of crawly.
Why are you looking at me? I'm not afraid of any of
those things. I don't like anything like crawly,
ditto,
fast, small. Mm-hmm. No.
Crawly and fast.
Slippery, slimy. No, thank you.
Slippery, slime. Yeah, no, I think that's all criteria that you're absolutely right about.
Yeah.
I was telling Jen off the air about we were on vacation in Door County, and there was a bat in the cottage that we were staying in, and it flew into our room, so we wanted to contain him, because you never know, with a bat, there might be rabies, there might be diseases that they spread. And Steve wanted me to help him guide it out of the room, and he kept flicking this bat at me he took the window screens off of the windows, and he was like, I'll shimmy it to you and you just guide it out the window. Is it like that sound like, does that sound like a reasonable sort of exercise at let's say 1 a.m. you just want to go to bed and now you have a bat in your room? And eventually he kept shimmying at me and I kept ducking away from it, and he goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, you keep flicking a bat at me. I don't know what the human response in the situation should be, but it seems as though when a bat flies at your face, you get out of the way.
Yeah.
I just can't see. So finally I stood my ground. He's like, come on, just take a breath. You can get out the window. And when he guided that bat at me, just kind of flicked it at me, I just swung. Like I was swinging for the fences, and you could hear it like just bang out the window. And he goes, what did you do? I'm like, I got it out of the room. I got that out of the room. And they still have not forgiven me. We don't even know if I did any damage to the bat, but when we went downstairs the next day, in the information for guests, it tells you how to deal with the bats, and they tell you to like basically get a tennis racket and wrap it in duct tape, which would
so it'll stick.
So you catch it, and then you get rid of it. So basically, they're saying kill the bat. I don't know what else you do. Once it's
so it gets stuck on the tape.
Oh my god!
And the thing's flailing around,
right,
and then you have to rip it off the tape.
No.
Presumably
I think the bat was just fine.
You just throw the bat away.
You throw the tennis racket out the window as well. That's
well, right? Yeah.
I can't. I had never seen a bat up close. I used to see them outside of my dorm at University of Illinois outside of Allen Hall. And you would hear them in the trees. Oh,
you would see them all the time in U of I.
We have Gary, who has comments about encountering terrifying creatures. Hey, Gary, what do you have to say?
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, Patty.
Hey.
It was about, I guess about 15 years ago or so, I bought a fixer-upper up in Lake County, and as I was doing it, I had one of these lattice-type structures over the back patio, and I walked out my back door one time, and there was this, it looked like a bumblebee, and it was just staring at me, and as I'm walking around, it followed me. It just followed me. It didn't attack me or anything. It just followed me. And as I went away from the patio, it just stayed by the patio. I said, what? I had no idea what was going on. And I came back and followed me back into the house and went, you know, just stayed there. So I came back out again, and I tried to swat it a few times with a newspaper. Finally, I hit it, got it down. It was jiggling around on the ground. I put a jar over it, picked it up, and I says, what's going on with this thing? And I took it over to the Lake County Preservation, Forest Reserve Preservation. I think that's in Grays Lake. And they came back and told me that this is very rare in this type of the country. It's a carpenter bee. I heard of carpenter ants. I never heard of a carpenter bee. He says, yep, what they do is they drill a hole in wood, which would be the lattice that was over my patio, and they drill it in there. It's like a perfect square thing. Like you would think that somebody used a perfect drill to get it in there. They go in there at a certain time of the year. They go in there, they lay their eggs, and then they fill up all the holes.
Oh.
And they leave. And I says, you got to be kidding. And then the next year, all the eggs hatch, and all of those new carpenter bees, this is their job, they drill the holes to come out.
Oh, and God.
Really, stop it. That bee that I swatted and brought in, he was like a guard. He was a sentry to make sure no other insects went into those holes. Once you walk away, they're gone. I mean, you know, they go back and they just, all that's their job. They just sit there in the midair and guard those holes until all the babies come out, and then that's their job next year. And that's the craziest thing I ever heard of, but I guess down south, South Carolina, Atlanta, places like that, I guess it's a common thing where they actually go through this process, and if they keep on doing this with nobody, messing with them, eventually, like, barns just fall down. Because they have
the structure of the building by getting sort of ecking away at the wood. Oh, it's so creepy, Gary. Well, thank you for that story. And now some people aren't going to be able to sleep at night thinking about the carpenter bees.
You learned something, Patty.
That's right.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you so much, Gary, from the 336 cockroaches in New Orleans. Enough said. I feel like that. Yeah, I feel like they're gigantic proportions is what I'm seeing from that text. Let me take a break here and I'll take the last few calls. You know what? We were going to tell us something good, but I think we're going
to
go with.
Everyone seemed to be around like insects.
Yeah.
A lot of these texts and calls are all like.
Well, we kind of started it out
because
that way.
Insects are everywhere.
Yeah, I know. But like, what about if you have a crazy roommate who like brings over his insane clown posse friends? Like, that's what I woke up to.
Or insane girlfriend. Yeah.
I mean, those are things that happen to people all the time. I digress.
312-981-7200. Tell me something creepy. More after this on 720 WGN.